I'm really fortunate and excited about having our guests in that are joining us this morning. First off, Al Taylor. He is the VP of SIH, but he's also the administrator for Carbondale Memorial Hospital. First off, Al, morning. Mr. Taylor, it's good to see you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
You know, a job like yours, I wouldn't even begin to know where to start. And you know what scares me most about your job?
What's that?
The responsibility. Am I off base?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. And you know, the only way it gets worse and you're responsible for everybody is whenever you've got your hand in somebody's chest. And then responsibility takes on a whole different thing. Dr. Eduardo Smith-Sangares is joining us this morning. First off, Dr. Smith-Sangares, good to meet you.
Good to be here.
So, yeah, responsibility, right?
Absolutely.
When you literally have your hand in someone's chest, their heart, their hands, their lungs, in your hands.
Well, definitely. It's like you're holding their whole lives in your hands.
Literally.
Yes.
So, you guys ready for the stupid question of the day? I'll get started early with it.
Sure.
You ready?
Right ahead.
What's trauma? Now, a lot of people have a different definition of trauma, but today we've got a specific designation. What is trauma in relationship to the status of a hospital so you can be called a level one, a level two trauma center? Who wants to take this on?
I will. There is several types and ways in which you can get hurt. And depending on the level of energy that is involved in the mechanism that gets you hurt, we classify these injuries in different levels. And the trauma that requires designation is that is qualified and capable of treating the highest level of those injuries. And that's what we're talking about to do in our hospital.
I have a tendency to break that into two categories when you present it that way. From the neck up and from the neck to the hip. Thoracic and cerebral.
That's good. Torso and cerebral trauma, absolutely.
And those are two totally different disciplines when it comes to surgery. I mean, is trauma, when you get a trauma level designation for your hospital, is it just about surgery?
Well, not necessarily two different disciplines. Trauma is a unified, single, separate entity. It's a specialty on its own. And when you take trauma, you're talking about the whole body, which is what we call multi-system trauma. Like you correctly pointed, the trauma in the brain, the trauma in the head is a different type of animal, the trauma in the torso, but they are seen by the same specialist.
And really, when you think about this, being who we are, not only brain, but I met a woman a number of years ago who a drunk driver had come across the center line, hit the driver's side of the car, had driven the rearview mirror into her face. She was badly injured, right? But it wasn't the brain, it was the face. And that is a trauma of a whole different nature because there's a plastic surgery component, which really you have to be self-conscious of from the moment the person comes in if you're hoping for a good outcome when it comes to appearance.
That is correct.
So I'm making this thing more complicated for myself, but here's the thing. It's more complicated for you than it is me because you have to cover all those bases, and I'm a disc jockey. So you actually have an idea. I mean, because the other thing about trauma, and this is the thing we've learned about, especially when it comes to heart, stroke, is how fast you can get. For this trauma designation that is being sought for Carbondale Memorial Hospital, is that also a component of what we're talking about? How fast you're able to get to this location, or more accurately, how fast your staff, a helicopter, ambulance, can get patients to the hospital?
Definitely. And there is a concept in trauma medicine. It's called the golden hour. And the golden hour is the period in which you sustain your injury and you're most likely to survive if you receive prompt and adequate treatment. The golden hour, as the name states, is 60 minutes. So from the moment that you get injured, you have the first 60 minutes to be taken to a place where you can receive the right type of care for your injury.
Al Taylor is joining us this morning. As we mentioned, he's the VP and administrator for Carbondale Memorial Hospital. So we talk about these things because we see them on hospital shows and Grey's Anatomy, and we kind of have a concept for this because we go into the surgery room, whether you're watching something on the Discovery Channel or YouTube about surgery. But there's a whole level of support. I've always been a big fan of Sun Tzu. You guys familiar with Sun Tzu, The Art of
Absolutely.
War?
Absolutely.
I'm a huge fan of Sun Tzu. And Sun Tzu is very clear that whenever a soldier is sent into battle, and I'm going to consider you, Dr. Smith Sangari, as the soldier, there has to be so many farmers, people who know how to work leather, and all these things behind them, the support. And that's where Al Taylor comes in, because you can't have a soldier out in the field without support. I look at this kind of military-wise. And that is your job. And you have to, I guess, who do you appeal to say, we want this trauma status for our hospital, and what's the benefit of it? Who do we appeal to?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things with this, you're right, it's a big undertaking for the entire staff. And so we've been in a position over the last 4 or 5 or 6 years where we've developed our programs with neurology and cardiology, and we've really, in cancer services, so we've really been able to provide some additional services to the community. And one of the things that's important from the trauma program is to have those subspecialties to support Dr. Smith Sangaris and his group when they do their surgery. Now, they work and do the surgery. They also take care of, his group takes care of those folks upstairs in the critical care unit as well. But we've got all these other disciplines that we need to have in play. And so we've built those over the years, and that's the support staff for him. From an administrative standpoint, it's there's some specific guidelines that we have to go through from the state's perspective.
By the who, the Department of Health?
Yes. As a level 2 trauma center, you've got certain guidelines that you have to do. So we've got a team of folks at the hospital that are looking at those guidelines, that are talking to folks at the state, that are putting policies and procedures into place, working with our entire staff at all departments, because, the trauma doesn't affect just the surgery.
And the trauma, just doesn't happen between 8 and 5.
Absolutely not. Yeah. So we have to make sure everybody's in line, knowing what their role is, from, the radiology department to the emergency department to the surgery department to the post, the care upstairs. Post-acute care, once they're out, a lot of these folks are going to need rehab services. We've got a rehab facility at Heron. And so we've got
undervalued too.
Absolutely.
Every time one of my friends gets injured, oh, they want me to do therapy. Then do it.
Right.
I was one of those people who just a few short years ago was screw it. Now it's do it.
Right.
I'm telling you, the benefits are there. Go do this. You would not understand how much they can help you. They know how this works. And that is a post care is probably one for positive outcomes. It's the way to go.
Right.
All right. So I'm a little confused about this because, people always say, we're at DEFCON 4. All right. Level 1, 2, 3. How does that work? What's the highest level? Is it 1, 2, 3 or is it 3, 2, 1 up?
It's 1. And I'll let Dr. Smith Sangaris, who has worked at level 1 trauma center up in Chicago, to talk
right.
a little bit about
so
that.
So level 1 is the highest you can go.
That's correct.
That means you've got cerebral, you've got thoracic, you've got the ability to be able to get you there quickly, you've got the staff to be able to care for you 24 hours a day.
That's correct.
And what else?
There's the rehab component, in which we have facilities that are either contracted or immediately available for patients to go there in an expeditious base to then recover from their injuries. And there's the ability to take for the most complicated cases, which include children that get injured,
right.
Which includes multi-system trauma that requires specialized ICU care and advanced cardiovascular support.
Yeah. So what are the benefits for this, for Carbondale Memorial Hospital and for the people here? Now, the service in and of itself, but, I mean, is there more?
Well, I think the benefits for us is we've been working on a trajectory over the last 10 or 15 years to provide services that we can provide locally so people don't have to leave here for their care.
Right.
I mean, that's, we're here to serve Southern Illinois. What can we do to provide care for those people in the community? When you have a trauma, this is a long-term event for these families. So it's not just the patient that goes through and they're getting their care and we're taking care of them. But if they have to leave this community and they're up at, 2 or 3 hours away, they're up there for weeks at a time. Obviously, a lot of times the family's got to figure out a way to get up there. The family's trying to work and earn a living, but they've got a loved one that's away. So our goal is to really do what we can here locally to make sure we keep people here in our community.
Are there financial benefits for the organization for having this status? Additional, say, financial support from federal or state government to be able to attain this care, or are you really on your own?
We're pretty much on our own. I mean, there's a few grants out there that we may look at that are focusing in on some of the trauma services, but this is another service just like the other services we're providing.
So this is really part about growing, isn't it, Al? This is about growing.
Yeah, part of it is, yes, absolutely. And, it's growing. It's our key, again, is trying to do what we can for the community locally. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we've grown these other service lines. It's just natural that the next level, because we've developed all these other service lines, is the trauma. I mean, that's the point to, that we're trying to bring in and take care of everybody.
Well, here's the thing. You know, being a country boy, and the bathroom was the trauma center. I considered the Huck's parking lot a trauma center after a particularly nasty gun accident when I was younger. And when you're in southeastern Illinois, finding a trauma center, I was raised where you better be able to fix it yourself. Here's some duct tape, and we'll run down to Huck's and get you a needle and some alcohol. All right? I mean, we're talking about a whole different thing here. And I wonder sometimes, I can't help but envision the crashes on 57 recently, or the photograph of the plane that crashed in Waterloo this week, or the fireman who was killed in Maine when a wall fell on him. When I look at my, just in the week of the, what I've seen, you know, terrible things, New Zealand this morning, 49 shot. We hope we never see anything like that. 50 in the hospital. Or that flashbulb moment where I was at the ICU in Carbondale Memorial Hospital watching a friend of mine who has zero systolic and diastolic blood pressure while they thrash in the bed suffering from the effects of a stroke. It's not like, I mentioned Huck's a minute ago, it's not like an impulse buy for a rose and you go, well, I need that today. You can't get this. And somebody has to go out and make the plans for these services to be available to you and your family. It's not just like you can go, I need it now, so make it.
Right.
And I think, you know, until you need it, until someone you love is in that situation, you never really truly appreciate what this is.
I think you're right. I mean, everybody's doing their thing. It's one of those, when it happens, and you want that golden hour, and all of a sudden you realize that if you've experienced that, or if you had a family member experience
that. You want that helicopter?
You want that helicopter there. You want to know that you're going to be somewhere within an hour. Somebody's going to take care of you, get you, you know, the care that you need. And, you know, we've been in a situation in southern Illinois where it's taken longer than an hour in a lot of situations for people to get the trauma care that they need.
Right. Even though we've got a lot of highways, a lot of roads, we still have a hard time getting from one place to another fast.
Right.
Especially, as I said, with you being towards the westernmost portion of the state, and then there's a very active agricultural community to our to the east, and on the list goes. And then, of course, you've got things that happened after midnight where people do things stupid. Been there, saw that, done that, and now have a better appreciation for what it means when have somebody available. Now, what we're talking about this trauma status, you've been working on this. Dr. Smith Sangaris is joining us this morning. Eduardo, you've been working on this for a time. My understanding is quite some time, a couple, 3 years?
Well, not that. I arrived here about 9 months ago.
Okay.
And I've been working since, to put it. The pieces
so
together.
Al's been working on this.
Well, I tell you, the organization has. I've been here 8 months as well. We probably came in about the same time.
So this
time.
Is a torch that's passed on because did Carbondale either have some level of trauma status or in 2016 applied and did not achieve it?
No. We've years ago we had a trauma status, a number of years ago, way back when. But over the last 3 or 4 years, there's been strong some strategic planning activities that went on at the system level. And we identified the need to go and look at the trauma program in 2015. And so as we looked at our strategic plan, what did we need to do to provide the services to the community to continue to take care of those patients here instead of having them sent to other places? That's when we identified the need to start this process. So, you know, the team has been working on that a couple of years. The first thing in order to make that happen was to bring in Dr. Smith Sangaris as our medical director, who's had tremendous amount of experience at a level one center in Chicago to build the program for us and us to support him in what we need to do on the administrative side.
Oddly enough, I was in Jamaica, middle of nowhere, Jamaica, and a friend of mine was injured, and I wanted to be a doctor when I was a kid, and I still practice on my friends when they let me. And here we are in Jamaica on a beach, and where do I meet this guy? You can't own, if you're an American, you can't own property in Jamaica. You have to have somebody own it for you. And what do I meet? A man from the trauma center in Chicago. He's had enough, but he finds that he can live on the beach and fix up a couple of tourists that occasionally get injured and live just fine on the beach. But while I was there, and he was trying to fix the things I'd done to this other guy, he was sharing with me, you know, the level of stress, the pressure, the relentless nature that exists in these facilities. And I've met since people out of Memphis who were here vacationing, and they said, just have to get away. And when we talk about caring for patients, I would think when you have the level of magnitude, this trauma, you cannot isolate yourself enough from it. If you're a human being, a level of empathy, I know you got to have some professional distance. You've got to care for the people that are caring for the people that are in these incredibly difficult situations. I can't begin to know how you create that kind of support, for, including for yourself.
Well, absolutely. We are first and foremost physicians. We all take an oath to help those that are in need and to try to save human lives. And we get into this particular type of practice because we want to take it to the next level. We want to actually save lives that are in the jaws of death. We want to snatch the living from the jaws of death. And let me be perfectly clear. Trauma surgery is not for everybody. You have to have a specific mindset, a specific personality that drives you in, and you have to have a specific set of skills. And the, all the pieces need to come together. And if you don't have this particular fortitude, if you would, perhaps you are better off doing other things.
Right. A sucking chest wound is a devastating thing to see and to experience.
Definitely.
I was with a guy who now, by the way, is a doctor, as I come to think of it, a physician. We're in Polk County and in the Camaro, and somebody has thrown a buck knife straight, 10-inch blade, into the seat. He slouches, and suddenly he sets up straight, and the handle has been stuck between the seat and the back, and it shoves that buck knife into him. So we're in the middle of nowhere. My first thought is, my God, I've never seen so much blood in my life. One, how are we going to stop it? How are we getting to the hospital? And even for that, I mean, I can isolate that little, like I said, a flashbulb moment of, what do I do? I need help. I've got to get an expert here. I really like this guy. And, you know, just out of the blue, it was an accident. And I guess, I mean, kind of life is like that for you, that you deal with everybody's, my God, I didn't wake up this morning and think I would have a buck knife sticking out of my buttocks.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully that won't happen again to you.
Right.
But
anybody who's got the nerve, because I was with him in the emergency room, and that swab went all the way in because they could see the depth of the wound, and I'm like, whoa, this is not my line of work.
Absolutely. Well, for those listeners that are wondering how to treat this, the first thing to do is to stop the bleeding. You can achieve that by putting pressure on the wound or by holding a pressure, if it's an extremity, proximal to the body and proximal to the wound, because that diminishes the blood flow and that diminishes your blood losses and improves your chances of surviving. Sucking chest wounds, like you mentioned, are a particularly challenging type of injury. The best way to treat that is what we call a three-side dressing. And if you have tape and a piece of gauze, tape it around the wound three sides and leave one side open, because that creates a valve.
Oh,
and that will allow the air of the chest when there's exhalation to exit, but not air from the outside to come in.
Well, I didn't know that. Thank you. That's a really good one. I'm going to put that in the back of my memory pod for the hopefully day I never need it. So,
you're very welcome.
All right. So Al Taylor's joining us. He's the administrator of Carbondale Memorial Hospital. You're seeking trauma status for that hospital, a new level of care for Southern Illinoisans. When do you expect to hear? Is there more that has to be done? When do you expect a response?
Yeah, we have some more things to do. Our target is to have that level by October. So we hope to be designated by the state in October or late fall of this year. So we certainly think we will be acting as a trauma center prior to that, because we'll have to have all of our things in order, our procedures in order, making sure that we show the state that we are acting as a trauma center, but we won't actually receive that designation until that time. And so once we receive that designation later in the fall, then that's the time where our EMS folks will be alerted in our region to make sure they bring those patients here, because that'll be a requirement as it relates.
From
to
how them. Large of an area?
Throughout the Southern Illinois. And
south of 64? I mean,
well, Illinois has a division. The whole state is divided in multiple pieces, and the EMS systems use this division. We are what they call Region 5. And if you were to see the map, Region 5 is the thumb of the state coming down into the south.
Out of St. Louis?
It would be
St. Louis has its own sphere of influence.
Right.
It's a little. It's more southern.
Yeah.
It would be like south of Mount Vernon.
Right. South Mount Vernon. Yeah. Yes. So basically, I would call it 64 South then for my own edification there.
Yes.
You know, it was a real privilege to meet you guys. I don't get a chance to meet people who put themselves in positions like you do, Dr. Smith-Sangaris, and I'm a great admirer of people who do have that, as you call it, a predisposition to be tough enough to be able to hold another person's heart in their hands. I'd like to think I was that guy, but I'm glad there are people like you because I know that takes... takes a physical and mental discipline. The physical discipline gets overlooked to be able to stand there and do that while you're standing and save somebody's life. So thank you.
Thank you for having me here. In the words of Sun Tzu, if you don't prepare for battle, you have already lost.
My Sun Tzu, my favorite one, know yourself and know your enemy, and 1,000 battles are yours. Very close to yours, by the way. Al Taylor is also joining us this morning. Al, have a great respect for what he do too, because responsibility, even though you aren't up to your elbows in somebody else, that responsibility goes with you everywhere you go because it may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility, and there are a lot of people on the staff.
That's right. Yeah, it's a great organization. Love working here. We're going to do some great things with this trauma program.